This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. So if you're following it on the blue Bibles, it's on page 968. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
I would normally start with a prayer, but Leslie has already prayed for you to get something from the passage and what I say. And also prayed for me, so I shall leave that, as we've already done it. This morning we are to treasure God's kingdom. Did you notice that Wendy's questions about treasure started with a treasure chest? Do you keep your treasure in a chest? I've sometimes been at places where a crowd breaker has been. If you were given 5 minutes to gather your treasures up, what would you take out of your house? I wonder what you would take. Would you take your gold and silver jewellery? Your dinky toy collection? Wendy and I wouldn't be able to take our rather expensive modern art piece, as it's built into the fabric of the house, and it's not easily movable. Passage starts with, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you have treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? Or do you try to have both? Treasures on earth to please the world, and you'll show your ability to accumulate wealth. Stockpiling your items of worth. providing your pension pot for when you retire, pleasing the world and your position therein? Or do you have treasures in heaven, earning God's approval, saved by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? We do good works not to gain God's approval, like many other religions do, but because of our faith and our thanks for God's salvation. As James puts it in his book, our works demonstrate our faith. Heavenly treasure is permanent, whereas earthly treasure is temporary and cannot be taken with us when we die. In the days of Jesus, earthly treasures were attacked by moth and rust, as they were mainly cloth materials and metals. They could also be stolen by robbers. Where are we storing our treasures? Because the passage states that that is where our heart will be. That is where we will concentrate our minds on things. Are we going to concentrate our minds on earthly things or heavenly things? The next few verses refer to what sort of eye you have. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye is the way we look on the world, and what we see enters our life. Healthy eyesight leads to goodness, charity, and the fruit of the Spirit. Whereas unhealthy eyesight leads to us having bad natures. Healthy eyesight leads to clear vision. Unhealthy eyesight leads to impaired vision. Healthy vision leads to right judgment and making correct decisions. Unhealthy vision leads to errors and catastrophic decisions. Healthy eyesight seeks only to look at the glory of God, to seek his favour, and is pleasing to God, whereas unhealthy eyesight is only looking for the approval of the world. What type of eyesight do we have? Finally, in the last part of the first half of the passage, it addresses the possibility of serving two masters. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It states that no one can serve two masters. Serve in this context is like being a slave in Roman times. One cannot divide one's time between both God and the world. One cannot have treasure on earth and treasure in heaven, because your heart will follow one of the two. One cannot please God and please the world as well. Jesus in this passage states that... Oh, sorry. Jesus in this passage does not state that we should not, nor must not, but we cannot serve God and money. It is clear that we are created so that we cannot serve both God and money. As the Bible states in the Old Testament, when there was a battle between Baal and the true God, and the altars, and trying to set fire to the sacrifices, choose you this day who you will serve. Having made your choice, stick to it. Between the first and second half of the passage, there's the word therefore. I was always taught that we have to wonder, why is it there? What is it there for? If you've made the decision to store up your treasure in heaven, to have healthy eyes, and to serve God, then it tells you not to be anxious or worry about what you eat, drink, or wear. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I think it doesn't tell us not to do anything at all about those. I think we should try and provide for ourselves. And not trust that God will just provide food and clothes out of nowhere. I know that some people live like this and trust that God will provide. There are communities that do that, but I think that's at the edges rather than in the direct way. What I think it is trying to say, don't spend too much time on basic living. God will provide your necessities, it says, and explains why. Doesn't he do it for the birds and the flowers of the fields? I personally think sometimes that it's difficult for those in certain circumstances to believe that. Those people that are finding it difficult to provide for themselves these days and things like that. And having to rely on other agencies providing them with things. I think of the developing world where there are some subsistence farmers and they have to rely on the weather to make sure that their crops grow and they've got enough to eat until the next planting. And also think of refugees. You know, how does large number of refugees that have just got with them very little things, a small amount of personal stuff, and have to rely on other people quite often to supply food. I think those people quite often find it difficult to accept God's promise here. But they do, despite it. And, you know, you find lots of people in those sort of situations becoming Christians and deciding to, as it goes on, to say lower on, seek first his kingdom. The promise is to provide our needs and sufficient for our livelihood. It does not say, I'll supply you with your wants, with your desires, with fine apparel, and with feasting. Many of us were at Catherine Morris's wedding yesterday at Greyfriars. Maybe Greyfriars' attempt at a royal wedding this year. The number of clergy that were there was quite impressive, including two bishops. Catherine was Joy's predecessor at New Hope, and many of us know her from her time here. Including within the service was the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as this series is about God's faithfulness, I'm going to quote the first verse and chorus. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The faithfulness of God. Unchanging. Full of compassion. God provides our needs, provided that we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. But note the promise that's there. The last but one verse of the passage. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The promise that you will get extra if you seek his kingdom first. Seek first as a priority in your day-to-day existence. But also seek it first in the remainder of your life. And the sooner the better. I'm glad that I made a decision in my childhood. But you don't have to make the decision in your childhood. You can make it now. So if you have not already done so, I urge you to consider seeking God's kingdom first, now.